You may have heard recently about how one of the boats of the Jungle Cruise sunk. If you notice, there's not a lot of information on how it happened out there. And oddly enough, this has happened before. Well, I can tell you from being the guy who did maintenance on the boat after it sunk, that most of the people on the inside are just as clueless as you are. I was tasked with repairing the boat, along with one of my longtime co-workers, Kelly. We brought the damaged vehicle to one of our maintenance bays and began working on it. When Kelly discovered that the hole, which allowed the water to come through, had come up all the way through the hull, pushing through the bottom of one of the benches. This was strange, because the boats go very slow, and could not have hit anything with the kind of force it would take to plunge an opening as deep as it was. We were given a report written about the accident from eyewitnesses and cast members, but nothing indicated any kind of negligence which would have caused this to happen. So, we decided to do some research on our own, and look in the river where the boat had the accident, to see if we could find anything in there that might have caused it. Once we did that, we found that there was nothing in the immediate area that could have made a hole that size in the bottom of the boat. There was just no way. After this discovery, we came to the conclusion that there were only three things that could have happened. A, the boat had run aground earlier in the attraction and just continued onward with water rushing into it, which was very unlikely. B, someone removed the object from the river without our knowledge, which made no sense since Kelly and I were heading up this project and hadn't told anyone else to do that. Or C, something did this to the boat and moved itself out of the way. This hunch curiously ended up tying together a number of strange occurrences that had been going on at the attraction. In fact, several men and women had gone missing over the years while working around the ride at night. Usually they were foreign laborers from countries like Venezuela who could disappear easily without many people noticing. To management, apparently, it just looked like they had quit and left their shift without clocking out or anything. But I have heard rumors that they never left the park at all. I mentioned all this to Kelly, and she said she wanted to write a report about the whole thing. The missing object from the water, the workers, everything. I just wasn't about to do that, though. I knew there wasn't really any solid evidence for this theory, and I didn't want to look crazy in front of everyone at work. Well, last week, during our shift, she told me she had went to management with my theory anyway, and just didn't mention my name. I was fine with that, honestly. I hoped it would help them figure out something. However, later on that night, when Kelly was heading to one of the employee restrooms, she went missing. I tried calling her on her phone, but it went straight to voicemail, and texts weren't being responded to either. I searched around everywhere for her, and eventually got park security involved. Once again, they just said she might have left for some reason and forgot to clock out. We even checked the cameras, and they never actually showed her getting to the woman's restroom. There was this very small area where the cameras didn't cover, and as soon as she had gotten there, she just vanished. Higher-ups who were involved tried to brush this off, saying that she had just left out a back exit where there were no cameras, but I knew that was a load of crap. She would have never just left her shift and especially not told me about it. Plus, she was doing something very weird in the video in front of the river. She was leaning over, looking into it, then looking back behind her as if she had heard something. This whole thing really made me start to distrust management and start digging around for some answers on my own. Turns out there are actually a lot of policies in place and the ride's standard operating procedures that make no sense at all. Like, for example, not allowing us to search the grounds in certain specified areas of the attraction, and requiring us to keep lights pointed away from others, as well as there's a requirement to maintain the water level much higher than what the boats actually need for operation. Lastly, there's this small little locked office that's referred to in them and is specified to keep closed at all times unless assisted by an area manager, which is actually somebody pretty high up. I've only met one once or twice. So, that was the first place I was going to check. I brought my lockpicking set to work a couple nights later, and when nobody was looking, I picked the lock to the office. I dug around inside for a while, not really finding anything at first. But then, there was a spot in the wall that had been clearly cut out and covered up with a piece of it. Inside this little gap was a binder full of photos and documentation. Most of them were these old photos of twisted, mutated beings. One of them looked like a human mixed with an alligator and had two unequally sized heads. Another one of them was this monkey that had this disturbingly long neck. I heard someone coming, so I put the binder in my backpack and locked up the office. I took it home that night to do a little more research on it and learned about the partnership between Disney and Monsanto back in the early days of the parks, which involved genetic engineering. That gave me a thought. What if the thing that had sunk the boat was one of these creations? Maybe that was what had been taking people also. But it didn't make any sense. Why would they leave something like that there? Why would they risk it? I continued researching and realized that possibly this was all some sort of twisted plan to experiment on guests. That was when I heard something in the backyard tapping on my window. I suddenly got a call from one of my managers, Paul, who had never actually called me on the phone and definitely hadn't called me at night. When I answered, though, it was not Paul on the line. It was some very deep, manufactured voice. It said,
"You will bring it back to the attraction immediately, or serious consequences will occur. Do not contact authorities. Do not try to run. If you return the binder and make no copies, you may continue your existence."
The phone clicked as they hung up. Continue your existence? What kind of a person talks like that? I have to admit, I was terrified. I left the house to meet their demands and saw a chopper hovering in a fixed position over my street. There were also two cars that left as I walked out and drove in the opposite direction down the street. At that point, I knew I was really screwed. I really didn't have any other choice but to cooperate fully, so I got my car and headed towards Disney property. The chopper began to follow behind as I drove. I brought the binder back to Magic Kingdom, having to get on the shuttle and go in the employee entrance and everything with it. It was very late, and at least at the Jungle Cruise, there weren't any cast members left at all. I walked up to the attraction and into the queue, back to where the little office was. When suddenly, I saw these three men. They were all in these black suits, and their faces were featureless. Just these blank black heads like mannequins that gazed in my direction listlessly. One of them put out its hand, gesturing for me to hand over the binder. I gave it to him, touching his hand briefly. It felt like this extremely durable, plasticky substance, almost like they were wearing high-tech body suits. They took the binder and turned away from me, heading towards the river. I had to know more, so I yelled at them and asked where Kelly was, what had happened to her. They stopped and turned to me for a second, but didn't say a word, like they were implying that I was lucky enough to leave with my life. They then stepped out onto one of the boats, and one of them started driving them down the river slowly. From out of the water came the swimming tail of a disturbing alligator-like creature, whirling down the river behind the boat. I still don't know why they spared me to this day. Possibly because they just felt as though, without any proof of what had happened, I couldn't do much anyways. Or maybe their reasons were even more sinister than that. In fact, tonight I got a text from Kelly. She told me to come meet her at the Jungle Cruise, and that she had something wild to show me.